Jesus, we are so glad that you are here to meet with us in spirit and in truth. Holy Spirit, come and take this service. Yeah!
All right. I could just be, oh, see, I'm loud. I'm good. Here I am. Good morning.
Good morning.
How is everybody? You remembered Shine is at 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock. Good job. Good job. We're so glad to see you all here today. It looks like it's going to be a beautiful day outside, not quite as hot as yesterday. It was hot, right? But summer's here, and that's a good thing in Michigan. So Dan has got some announcements for us this morning. He's going to get us started.
Well, we know half of you came to the 9:30, and then it was already not halfway over, so you straggled down here by 10. So we appreciate it anyway. I'm glad you guys are all here. Just a couple quick ones for this morning. While I share these, if you would grab the little black pad for friendship pad down the center aisle or maybe on the outside, pass that down, record your attendance. You might find somebody that you can introduce yourself to over coffee in just a second when we go do that. After the service, at 11 o'clock this morning, my friend Steve Murdoch is doing a tour of the church. So a lot of times you may wonder, why is it called the Thomas Parlor? What is the Arbon Dennis Chapel, and who was that guy? He's doing this a quick tour of the church, about a 30-minute tour. It's going to start just outside the sanctuary at 10, so if you're interested in that following service before you head out for your day, please join Steve Murdoch. This is Hunger Sunday, so all of the loose change and the non-dedicated offerings that land in the plate today are going to go to help local hunger right here in the Motor City. So we appreciate your support on that, and so glad that you're here worshiping with us today. So at this time, I would invite you to stand up, greet a neighbor, go grab a fresh cup of coffee, and come on back. We're going to praise the Lord.
Thank you.
Caffeinated and back to your seats. Won't you stand up and sing with us? We're going to start out with a classic hymn of the faith, Done Our Way. Great is thy faithfulness.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassion.
God has brought us from death to life. And that's one. That's just one of myriads of reasons why we worship. You probably have some personal reasons why you choose today to come to give God worship and praise. Why you think He's worthy. Why you think that His Holy Spirit is the place in which to live and breathe and have your being. We believe that too. This is one of Christian's new songs. We're recording it today. We're so glad you're here with us. Let your worship be heard by your God today. And let's do this together. Come on.
Sing of your truth, calls me your presence, keeps my thoughts in line, tunes up my ears to heal from your divine.
That's why I worship. That's why I worship. Oh, it puts me in your presence, wraps me in your love, creates a path of healing with grace from above. Like spiritual candy, it's sweet to God's ears. My melody's purpose to recognize that He's here. That's why I worship. That's why I worship. Oh, I know in my heart, sing it out. Oh, I know in my heart that it's true. I worship because that's what I was made to do.
So many reasons we sing it out to you, Lord. You provide for us. You do all things for us. Thank you for being there. It's always enough. You are always enough. That's why I worship.
That's why I worship.
Yeah. Sing that with us, just that
That's
line.
That's why I worship.
That's why I worship.
That's why.
Let me hear
That's
you.
Why I worship.
That's why I worship.
That's why.
One more time.
That's why I worship.
That's why I worship.
That's
oh,
why.
I know in my heart.
That's
come on. Today, Lord, change us. Change us more into your image. Whatever we are that's keeping us from you, we surrender it right now in Jesus' name, that we might become mature in you. Call us closer to your side, Lord. May we walk and follow in the direction that you want us to go. Your kingdom come, not ours. Your will be done, not ours. In Jesus' name, to you be the glory.
This time I would invite you to be seated as we continue our time of worship, songs of prayer. Whatever brought you here, whatever's the reason why you're worshiping here today, whatever's on your heart for what you're worshiping gratefulness for today, we're glad that you're here. And we worship a God who is very, very holy and very worthy. Let's sing to His glory. Worthy is the Lamb.
What an awesome privilege it is to come into this space, this holy space, to join with our friends, old and new. And Lord, just to lift you up and to sing your praise and to celebrate your greatness. Lord, it humbles us to come before your throne. And we thank you that you invite us there. You want each one of us to bring before you everything on our heart. Lord, sometimes we don't know how to pray. Sometimes we don't know what to say. A lot of times we don't even know what is best for ourselves, Lord, but we know that you do. Lord, at this time, hear us as we lay before you in the silence the things that we may not share with anyone. Hear our prayer in the silence, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the honor, for the privilege, for the fact that you want to know us individually. You want to hear what scares us, what excites us, what we look forward to, and what we're anxious about. Lord, that we have the opportunity to turn it all over to you. Lord, thank you for coming down from on high, for walking among us, for showing us the way, and for dying for our sins. Lord, we lay all of our burdens at the foot of your cross. Lord, as a congregation in agreement on your goodness, your mercy, and your unfailing grace, purest as we join our voices together in agreement, sharing in the words that your Son Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. This time I would invite our ushers to come forward and wait among us. You may find the offering tins near the center aisle and send those down where they can be gathered. If you're a visitor with us in this service, please sit back and relax as the members of this congregation return to the Lord just a portion of what he's poured out on us. Lord God, we thank you for these good gifts. We thank you for the loose change and the folding money that's going to go to feed the hungry right in our midst. Lord, we know you can do a lot more with this than we ever could. Thank you, Lord.
Patrick Otema is 15 years old. He was born deaf. But in this remote region of northern Uganda, there are no schools for deaf children. In his whole life, Patrick's never had a conversation.
Hello. Good?
His father, Charles, looks after him. They are only able to communicate through very basic gestures. We've been sitting here talking about Patrick in front of him, and while he's been watching us, he doesn't understand what we're saying. It feels almost rude. But this is what Patrick's life is like all the time. I'm here with someone who wants to change all that. Raymond Okello is deaf himself and a sign language teacher. Do you think he could learn sign language? This is pretty much Patrick's existence. His father gestures to him what he wants him to do, and when he's finished, he goes back to his hut to spend the rest of the day on his own. Patrick's fate is not unusual. The majority of deaf people in sub-Saharan Africa have never been taught sign language. Unable to communicate with others, they're trapped in their own minds. Raymond became deaf as a child after a bout of malaria. 6 months ago, he traveled to the capital for intensive training in sign language. Now he's returned to his village to do something unprecedented. He's going to teach the first sign language course ever set up here. Raymond, are you nervous? It's 2 o'clock. The first deaf students start turning up. And class begins.
The course has already started, but Patrick hasn't turned up yet. And I'm worried that his father couldn't convince him to leave home.
A few minutes later, Patrick arrives.
Patrick's transformation is amazing. It's almost impossible to believe it's the same boy we met yesterday.
New deaf students keep arriving. Many have walked miles to be here. There's a 9-year-old boy and an 80-year-old woman. Before the end of the class, each new student goes to the front. The class votes on a new name for them. This is now Patrick's sign name, and he will use it for the rest of his life. He has just been baptized into a whole new world.
We were made to communicate. We were made in the image of a communicating God. God wants to connect with us. He wants to communicate with us. He spoke to Moses in a burning bush. He spoke to the Egyptians with a staff and a snake. He spoke to the Israelites through a column of light. He spoke to Elijah through a quiet whisper, a still, small voice. He spoke to Mary and Joseph in a dream. He sent Jesus to connect with us so that he could communicate with us, so that he could give us the hope and prosperity that he speaks of in Jeremiah 29:11. So God is doing his part. He is talking to us. He is communicating with us. So the question becomes, are we communicating with God? Are we connecting with God? Pray with me. Spirit of God, fall fresh on us here today. We need your presence in our lives. We've come here to connect with you. So please connect with us. Amen. Our connection to God is crucial to our success in our mission. Now, our missions may not always be glamorous. Sometimes the mission is, I gotta get these 4 loads of laundry done today. They gotta get done. Sometimes the mission is, I am gonna get my kid to school on time today. It's totally gonna happen. I don't often get that mission right. Sometimes the mission is just to get out of bed. Sometimes it takes all our strength to get out of that bed in the morning. Jesus understood the importance of being connected to God in order to have the ability and the strength and everything he needed to do all of the things that God was going to do through him. And so before every major act of ministry that Jesus performed, he prayed. Mark 1:35. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Matthew 14:23. After he had dismissed them, Jesus, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. To pray. When evening came, he was there alone. Luke 6:12. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. That was before he went out to select his disciples, to find the disciples, to find the people that would walk with him and would eventually teach the whole world and all generations about God. Jesus prayed before he was baptized in Luke 3:21. Luke 22:41, he, Jesus, withdrew about a stone's throw away beyond them, knelt down, and prayed, Father, if you're willing to take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. Luke 22:32, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. Luke 23:24. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Matthew 26, while they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it. That was at the Last Supper. In the face of the end of his ministry, he prayed. John 11, when he met with Lazarus' death, he prayed, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me." John 12, "Now my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour." "No, it was for this very reason that I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." And then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will." John 17, Jesus said this. He looked toward heaven, and he prayed. Jesus understood that it is through prayer, it is by prayer, that we become connected to God. Because prayer is a communication. And through that communication, we become connected. So in college, I studied how do we communicate? How does communication actually occur? So the theory that I studied was called the speaker intention theory. And all it says is that there's two parts to a conversation. There's the speaker and the hearer. And when I speak, I have intentions about every single thing I say attached to them. And I want you, the hearer, to pick up on them. So as this diagram is showing us here, there's an overlap. There's an area where what I intend as the speaker, you hear as the hearer. And it is in that overlap, in that space that we occupy together, in that connection of what I intend and what you hear, that communication occurs. Easy. Simple, right? Well, maybe not always. Have you ever tried to communicate with your teenager before they're really awake in the morning? I was not a pleasant morning teenager. Have you ever tried to communicate with your client who you have to tell them something that they just don't want to hear because it's not good news? They don't want to hear it. You cannot get them to understand what you want them to know. Have you ever tried to connect with someone who speaks a different language? You desperately want to connect with them. You want to communicate with them, but there's a language barrier, and so that makes it difficult. Or how about your dog, like in this cartoon? I think that's what dogs hear. They just probably hear their own name, blah, blah, blah. Maybe treat outside, maybe. That's one that gets another reaction from dogs, right? And there are some people who could hear you speak 1,000 words and still not understand you. And there are others who will understand you without you needing to speak a single word. And it's because there's a connection of intentions, a connection of meaning between what you're communicating and what that person's hearing. And the good news I want to share with you today is that with God, when we communicate with him, when we pray, we don't have just a little overlap. This is what we have. God fully understands everything that you are saying to him, that you are praying to him, that you are telling him. We as people love to communicate, don't we? I mean, look at all the things we've invented. We have texting. I am a total textaholic. I text all the time. It's probably a little ridiculous. Oh, I got a couple here, yeah. All right. Texting, email, Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook Messenger. I'm sure there's stuff Sophie knows stuff about that I have no idea. I'm like, what? That's what you do? I mean, think in the old days. There were smoke signals, carrier pigeons, and I did it. I'm sure you did it too. You would write little notes. You fold them up, and you throw them to your friend in class, right? My daughter admitted to doing that. Because we love to communicate. We were made to communicate. We want to talk. We want to connect. We want to know that we have connected with somebody. So how do you naturally communicate? How did God make you to communicate? I'm a talker. I talk all the time. My whole family, we're all talkers. I like singing.
talking to pretty music, right? It works great. Are you a dancer? Are you a writer? Are you a thinker? Are you an artist? Do you journal? Do you write music? What's your form of communication? How do you feel that you communicate best with other people? What's your medium? Because whatever it is, that is how you pray. I love the Lord's Prayer. We say it every Sunday morning. I love that we say it together, that sound of the corporal voice together. It's beautiful. I love that I know what to say, and through time, I've heard different things in the Lord's Prayer. And for some of you, maybe saying written prayers or reading Bible verses and scripture, those are prayers too, because it's planned out and you can find things in them. And that's wonderful, and you should always do that. But if that doesn't speak to you, that's okay. You can dance to the Lord. That's a prayer. When you've come home at the end of the day and you are so tired, you don't have any strength left to do much of anything, you can sit in the chair and be tired and be aware of God's presence. And that's a prayer. You can be so thankful that you've come home to your wife and your children and that they run up to you and they're excited and you scoop them up and you do whatever it is that you do together with them. That can be a prayer, that joy. You can share it with the Lord. Because as 1 Thessalonians tells us, we should pray continually. But how do we pray continually? Like, I'm just talking, right? Like, this isn't really prayer. This is a message, right? Well, one person addressed this a long time ago by creating something called the breath prayer. And what a breath prayer is that you say one part of the prayer as you breathe in, and you say another part of the prayer as you breathe out. It's pretty cool. I like the idea. I believe the original breath prayer was, Lord Jesus Christ, and have mercy on me, a sinner, as he breathed out. It was written by a religious person who was on a very long journey and wanted to honor this text of breathing, of praying continually. And so the prayer became part of his very breath. And he learned that as he practiced that, as he walked, the prayer became part of his breath, and so he was praying continually. In my Bible study group, we studied prayer, and I asked people to write their own breath prayer. And I don't know what other people wrote, but mine was, lover of my soul, sing your melody to me. Because I always want to hear God. I want to hear his voice. I want to see him in what I do. I want to hear him. I want to hear his song. Philippians 4 tells us, pray about everything. Oh, okay, that's easy. We can, no. Everything is like everything. There's a lot of stuff in everything, right? Okay, well, we can break it down a little bit. There's the five-finger prayer. Helps you remember how to pray about everything. So your thumb, I always get these wrong. So the thumb is, we pray for those who are closest to us, our family and friends, and I like to add the person sitting next to you. Pointer finger, those who point us in the right direction. And then the middle finger, those who lead us, because our middle fingers are a little taller, right? The ring finger, those who are weakest, the hurting, the hungry, the poor, the sick. And then the pinky ourselves. So that's a way to pray about everything. That's pretty all-encompassing. James 5, pray for each other. Seems pretty standard. I think if you go to church, that's a pretty standard thing you hear. And I think that's good, and it's important to note that, yes, we should pray for one another. We come together as one body of Christ, and if you have something that you need help with, tell your faith friend. Tell your Christian brother and sister and allow them to have a conversation with God about that and about you, to open up that line of communication. Mark 1 says, pray in the morning. So not just the figurative morning, or the literal morning, I should say, but also the figurative morning at the beginning. You have a big project at work you're going to start. You've got a meeting this afternoon about it. Take a moment. Ask God to be with you as you start that endeavor, to do your best. Matthew 14, pray on the mountain. The mountain represents the good times. When you feel good, after you've accomplished something, lift up thanks. Tell God everything you did, because guess what? It's hard to get to the top of the mountain, isn't it? You have to work hard. You have to climb steep, rocky edges. Sometimes it can be lonely on the top of the mountain. As you look down and survey all that you've overcome, maybe you're there alone. That can be praying on top of the mountain. Luke says, pray in the lonely places. So, when you're sad, maybe, not just physically alone, but feeling alone. Because prayer is communication. Prayer is not just request. Lord, I need to be able to say everything you need me to say this morning. And it's not just thankfulness. Oh, thank you, Lord, that I got through this. It's everything in between. Like when you need advice, who do you call? I call my mom, because whatever she says, then I usually do the opposite. It's still true. It's still true. I'm grown and it still happens, right? But it's a conversation. I'm not asking her to do something for me, and I'm not thanking her for something she's already done for me. It's a conversation. When I need to get something off my chest, who do I call or who do I text? Because I text. I text my best friend. Well, I text Yale sometimes too. He's pretty awesome. But it's because it's a conversation. So prayer is a conversation. And if I'm not engaged in conversation and communication with God, I'm never going to see what he's doing. And I'm never going to hear him. I'm never going to see that he moved. I'm never going to hear him. Because he's talking to me. And he's doing things for me every moment of every day. And he's doing things for you every moment of every day. But if we are not communicating with him about it and talking to him about it, we're never going to see it, because we're not in conversation with him. We're not doing our half of the conversation. Think of the Venn diagrams. If we are not putting our part in, we're never going to have the ability to see his part. Prayer is our part of connecting with God and keeping an open line of communication. He's communicating with us, and he wants to hear about it. He wants to hear about everything. He wants you to say it. He wants you to dance it. He wants you to feel it. He wants you to think it. He wants you to just tell him. What he wants you to do is say what you need to say. 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 Take all of your wasted honor, every little past frustration. Take all of your so-called problems, better put them in quotations. Walking like a one-man army, fighting with the shadows in your head. Living out the same old moments, knowing you'd be better off instead. Say what you need to say. Say what you need to say. Even if your hands are shaking and your faith is broken, even if your eyes are closing, do it with a heart wide open. Say what you need to say. Say what you need to say. God just wants you to be honest with him. Because you know what? He already knows exactly what you're going through. He already knows what you're struggling with. He knows how you feel about it, and he wants to connect with you about it. He wants to know that you're looking for him and that you're listening for him. He just wants you to be honest with him. You don't have to be okay to talk to God.
can be a hot mess. You can be angry with him, cannot really be sure about all the little details of how it all works. You can be crying. You can be upset. You can be happy. You can be joyful. You can be confused. It's all okay because God wants you to come just as you are right now. Come out of sadness from wherever you've been. Come brokenhearted, let rescue begin. Come find your mercy, oh sinner, come near. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Lay down your burden, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. Oh, wanderer, you're not too far. So lay down your hurt, lay down your heart. Come as you are. Hebrews 5 described how Jesus prayed. During the days of Jesus and his life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Jesus prayed from his heart. He meant what he said when he prayed to God. He prayed, but he also made petitions, so those are different. You're not always asking God for something. You're just communicating with him. And it was heartfelt. It was a reverent submission. It was something, he did it out of respect for who God was, and he knew and he felt and he loved God. And it was from his heart. Whatever Jesus was going through, he took it to God in prayer. And that's all prayer is. Prayer is a true, heartfelt communication with God that allows God to connect with us. Because communication takes two sides. Max Lucado said it very well. Our prayers may be awkward, our attempts feeble. But since the power of prayer is in the one who hears it and not in the one who says it, our prayers make a difference. Our prayers make a difference because there's two parts to communication. God is doing his part. He is communicating with us. And we have to do our part and communicate with him. And prayers can take many, 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 many forms. But they need to be truthful. Sometimes the truth is crying. Sometimes the truth is dancing for joy in a warm summer rain. Sometimes the truth is silence. God loves a lullaby, a mother's tears in the dead of night, better than a hallelujah sometimes. God loves the drunkard's cry, the soldier's pleas not to let him die, better than a hallelujah. Yes, sometimes we pour out our misery. God just hears a melody. Beautiful the mess we are. Honest cries from breaking hearts. Better than a hallelujah sometimes. The tears of shame for what's been done, the silence when the words won't come, better than a hallelujah sometimes.
God has been engaged in conversation with us ever since he created us. And he wants to hear from you. However it is you communicate, whatever it is you do, if you draw, draw God a picture. We used to do that for our parents when we were little. They'd put it on the refrigerator. God will take a picture. If you paint, paint him a painting. If you like to walk in nature and just bask in the beauty of his creation, that can be a prayer too. And like that young man, Patrick, that we saw in the video, I think we spend too much of our lives thinking that we don't know how to communicate, and we hide in fear. We hide from God. But we have been taught, just like Patrick, how to communicate with God. Jesus taught us to pray. He gave us the example of the Lord's Prayer, but Jesus didn't say, when he was asked, Lord, how do we pray? He didn't say, pray this. He said, pray like this. It's an example. And I love, again, that we say it, but he's giving us an example of how to pray. He's not saying this is the only way to pray. And I think the reason that we don't hear specifically about how Jesus prayed in the Bible is because there's so many ways that it doesn't matter exactly what he said or exactly what he did. That's not what we have to do. We have to talk to God. We have to communicate with God in our own personal, most heartfelt ways. God's never going to be offended. He's never going to be upset. He's never going to be mad. He's not going to be angry. He's not going to be confused by what you're trying to tell him, because he knows you. He fully understands you. And he wants to hear from you. And I would hope that you would trust God enough to talk to him. Because of being connected to God enabled Jesus to be the conduit of God's miracles. God can and certainly will help you through your missions in life and everything you need to do. So let's go back to those scriptures I read at the beginning. Let's see if I can find them. We've got 1 Thessalonians. Connect with God continually. Connect with God about everything. Connect with God for each other. Connect with God in the morning. Connect with God on the mountain. Connect with God in lonely places. He just wants to hear from you. He wants to inhabit the space with you, because when we open up our end of the communication, we are enabling God to show us where he is moving and what he is doing for us and how he is communicating back with us, because he is. Communication. It's all prayer is. And God wants to hear from you all the time about everything.
All you need, let the Lord take the lead. He'll paint you a picture of his kingdom on earth. The sun and glory. it's more than you could ask for. It's more than you could think of, more than is possible. Like light through the window, he's letting his love show through his
of you, Lord, don't we? Who wants more of him? Yeah, come on.
This week, I invite you this week to just pray. However you feel led, connect with God. And to get you started, we have a prayer journal if you are interested in taking one as you leave today. All it really is a place for you to record your prayers. You draw him a picture, draw it here. You think of a coworker as they walk by your desk. Gosh, I really hope that they're doing better. Write down their name and the date. And the benefit, the beauty of a prayer journal is that you can look back on all the things that you talked to God about, and you can see how he answered you. You can see him moving in your life. You can hear him. Truth is, you probably are all answering people's prayers, and you may not even know it, because we do that. So sing God a song this week. Write him a letter. Smile at him in heaven. Talk to him. And I leave you with these words from Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We'll see you next week, everybody.
And it's more than you could ask for. More than you could think of, more than is possible. Like light through the window, he's letting his love show through his people. He'll tell you a story of his of his kingdom on earth. It's unstoppable.
More than you could ask, more than you can think.
God is all you need.
More than you could ask, more than you can think.
Let the Lord take the lead.
More than you can ask, more than
second.